T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And, of course, that means here's Joe Micheletti. Joe, welcome. How are you?
I'm great, Mike. Thanks.
All right, Joe, take us back to the weekend. Here we are, game two, two-goal lead. What happened?
Well, they didn't play well enough in the first game, Mike, obviously.
Right.
The one player that gave them a chance to win that game was Henrik Lundqvist. But other than that, the Rangers didn't have much patience. They turned the puck over. They didn't have sustained pressure. And Lundqvist, you know, with, 20 or 21 saves in the first period, kept them in it. Now, you know, then they got a little bit unlucky, actually, on the game-winning goal, which should have been an icing. It wasn't called. But when you look at that game, you say, you know, Ottawa deserved to win it. You know, they had the puck. They put the pressure on. Lundqvist kept his team in it, but they didn't win. Game number two, the Rangers were much better. I watched that game again this morning, Mike, and right from start to finish, because after the game, I know that Elaine Vigneault said, or maybe a day later, he said, you know, we did a lot of good things, and they did, but they made some critical mistakes that ended up hurting them. But if you look at the totality of the game, most of the game they did some really good things. I mean. And you're absolutely right. You can't have 3 2-goal leads in the playoffs, score 2 shorthanded goals, and lose the game.
Well, Joe, this is a veteran team. Listen, you're a player. You know this. You've been in that position. What broke down from your sight? What broke down in the last 3 minutes that allowed them to score 2 goals and tie this game up?
You know, I really looked at the last 5 or 6 minutes of regulation closely, and there was only one chance that the Rangers had in that last 5 or 6 minutes, and that was Michael Grabner. If you remember, he came flying down the left wing and had a chance, and Anderson made a great save on him.
Yep,
and that was around the 5 or 6 minute mark or so, or maybe just inside that. But other than that, I counted too many times where, you know, you hear this phrase, and you and I talked about before this series started about making mistakes between the blue lines in the neutral zone against this team. And not that they were necessarily making mistakes, but the puck wasn't going back behind the Ottawa net. You know, the Rangers, they get it, they try to put it in, and they'd only get it to the blue line or maybe just inside the blue line. And so they didn't force Ottawa to really have to go back, get it, allow the Rangers to get a clean change, and then have to go 200 feet through the Rangers, you know, to get it back in the Rangers zone. And so I started noticing that earlier, again, with about 5 or 6 minutes to go. But then the last 2 goals are something that the Rangers talked a lot about this early in the season. And if you remember, Mike, the Rangers were allowing goals in the early part of the season on deflections. And they really made an attempt, and they discussed it, and Henrik Lundqvist with everybody. They said, let him see the puck. You know, take the sticks and allow him to face the puck without a deflection. Well, both those goals, the fourth goal and the fifth goal, were scored on deflections. And that's something the Rangers are generally pretty good at. It broke down. And so the fourth one, I thought, you know, he didn't have much of a chance on. The fifth one was beat him on the short side, but it was still deflected up high over his shoulder. So those were the two breakdowns for me. And then, of course, there were chances by both teams in the overtime and the defensive play that Kyle Turris made on.
Oh man, how good was that? How good was that?
Yeah,
he played great. How good was his stick handling in that series, in that game too? Yeah, he played really well.
Yeah, he's a good offensive player. And of course, the big story is Pageau scoring 4 goals.
Right.
I mean, here's a guy. I spoke with Paul McLean, who used to be the head coach in Ottawa. And I spoke to him the other day about Pageau, who played for him. And he's one of these great stories, Mike, a local kid, undrafted, signed as a free agent, you know, very trusted, not very big, third and fourth line player, very good penalty killer. He had one other hat trick in his career. That was in a playoff game back in 2012 against the Montreal Canadiens. And, you know, and there's some players that are just better playoff performers than they are in the regular season. And he's a heart and soul kid, and it's quite the story. He scores three consecutive goals, a natural hat trick, and the fourth one, you know, turns out to be the game winner. And, you know, so again, and that was one of those mistakes, you know, where Holden pinches at the wrong time, doesn't read the play properly. Derek Stepan gets caught on the ice too long, 47-second shift for him. And, you know, and again, they didn't make an exorbitant amount of mistakes in the game, but the mistakes they did make came back to hurt them.
All right, here they are now coming home down to love. They haven't lost, you know, there's an old adage, if you want to use it here, that, you know, no blood in the series until you lose a home game. All right, there is that adage. Does this series feel that way to you right now?
Well, I would say this. They, you know, the Rangers, I think, in watching what they did and how they played against Montreal, and for the most part, you know, what they did in game number two, I thought here, this was my initial thought going into game three was Henrik Lundqvist had to work so hard in game two, and that was on a Thursday night, both, you know, physically and emotionally to try and keep his team in it throughout that game, which he did. And I wondered about the short turnaround of them playing Saturday afternoon and not giving him that extra time. And that first goal he let in was a poor goal. He generally does not allow those. It might have been the worst goal he's allowed in the playoffs this year, the short side goal after Jan Girardi made a mistake in the neutral zone to tie it up. And up to that point, and I was keeping track of this, you know, the Rangers in both games took too many penalties early in the first period. But, you know, that with, you know, 6 minutes left in the period, it was all Rangers. The Rangers killed off the three penalties they took. They did not allow a shot. They score a couple, you know, they score a shorthanded goal in that first period. And they make the one mistake at the six-minute mark, and it turns out to be in the goal. A defensive mistake by Girardi, a bad goal by Lundqvist, and now the game turned because, you know, the changes of momentum and the crowd gets into it, and the Rangers had done so many good things. So I think there's a lot of positive things that the Rangers did that they look at for game number three and say, listen, you know, all these things that we did, we had the puck, the shots were, I think, you know, 36-24, 37-24 after regulation, scoring chances, handling the puck, making plays. Those are all the things that were positive in game two, but they lost, and I think they'll lean on those things and clean up some of the areas that they cleaned up. Even the 4-on-4 goal for them to make it 3-2, where Ottawa came back after trailing by two, was very poor defensively by a group of veteran players that it's not like them. So I think they realize they're going to have to clean up some of those areas. And I would not give up on the Rangers' ability to regroup and Henrik Lundqvist regrouping and getting things going.
Would you change anything? Well, let me ask you this way, Joe. We're talking with Joe Micheletti. See him on MSG tonight. MSG will have all the everything for you after the game, so you can watch everything there. So you have the you'll be able to check everything out when the game's over tonight. So you tune in and watch everything that's going on. Rangers down 2-0 as they come back for the games 3 and 4 here at the Garden tonight and Thursday night. Would you did Ottawa do anything that surprised you?
No.
Okay. Would you change anything that the Rangers would do, either in terms of personnel, lineup, you know, anything as far as how you would attack tonight? Would you do anything differently?
Well, I think here's the reminder. You know, the Rangers all season were one of the most disciplined teams in the league. You know, they finished in the top five of their discipline and not taking penalties. They were good all season. They led the league most of the season in not taking penalties. They took three early ones in the first period of game one, three early ones in the first 11 minutes of game two. And what that does, now granted, their penalty killing in game two was outstanding, and they scored a shorthanded goal. But what it does is, I thought that game three was the best we had seen of Chris Kreider early. But you start taking penalties, he doesn't kill penalties. So now he doesn't get out there. And the Rangers, they've been a four-line team all season, where they start rolling four lines, and that's how they get in their rhythm. You take penalties, and they can't get in that rhythm. And then what ends up happening is that it turns out that they were a three-line team for quite a bit of the game, because a lot of those players didn't play. And I'm not sure if Alain Vigneault just felt that they didn't get in there early, wasn't sure that he felt confident in their ability towards the end. And so I think that he'll remind them to stay out of the penalty box. He'll try and get back to that four-line game. Does he make a change or two? It wouldn't surprise me on the fourth line, but it's not going to be anything significant. And then the other thing that stood out is when they had the puck between the blue lines, if there's no play, put the puck in an area where you can defend. And they made a few of those mistakes. Again, not many, but enough to cause a difference in the game. And you just can't play that way against Ottawa. They're too good at forcing a mistake between the blue lines, and then they're counterattack offensively. And we talked about it early, Mike. This is a better offensive team than Montreal. And so if you make mistakes and they try to force you into making those types of mistakes in the wrong areas, you're going to have some issues. And so I think those are the two big areas that the Rangers need to be better.
But you feel still fairly confident that the Rangers can quickly get... I mean, listen, if they win tonight, they're right back where they need to be. I mean, they're right back in the series, but they have no margin these next two games. They have to win to win these next two games now.
Yeah, they do, because now they put themselves in the in that 13 to 14% category.
I mean, you're
right?
Talking about you got to win 4 out of 5 as it is, you know.
Right, right. So historically,
unless you're going to win two games in Ottawa.
Exactly. Now again, they're a good road team, and they have confidence winning on the road. But you cannot you can't lose tonight.
How would you play it if you're Ottawa? Let me put you in their coach's shoes. You're 2-0. Probably didn't think you'd be 2-0, but you're 2-0. Does that make you do anything differently tonight? Does that make you more aggressive tonight? Does that make you play a little fast and loose because you got a game to play with here? Do you try and do something to see if he can steal a game?
He won't change anything except I think. And he admitted, and so did Erik Karlsson for the most part. Erik Karlsson said they were the better team. The Rangers were the better team in game number two.
He did say that. He did say that.
And again, he's right, Mike. I watched that game closely this morning, and at the end of regulation, I'm going, boy, oh boy, did they blow this. And yet they still had a chance to win in overtime and almost did.
That guy's a heck of a player, too. He is a heck of a player.
Yeah, he is great. He's still hurting. The Rangers have to keep hitting him.
Yep.
But if you're Ottawa, they want to get back to the way they played most of the season. And it's a defensive-minded approach with a counterattack mentality that if we get a chance to, once we get the puck turned over, now be aggressive with everybody. That's the way they played for most of the season, in particular the second half when they were really good. And so I think that they want to get back to a more conservative style of play in game number three to try and keep the Rangers frustrated if they can. But again, I thought the Rangers did enough good things in game number two to have a chance to win. But the few of the mistakes they made really cost them.
Now, the Rangers came off a very tough game number two and didn't show up in game number three. They don't have that luxury tonight.
No. They know now that they do not have a choice other than, winning this game. And I do believe that there's a confidence level that they have. But, again, the thing that surprised me at times, and it only happened a number of times, is that some of their veteran players made plays that you don't expect them to make. And if that happens, then you've got a team that's in trouble. But I think that we've seen them respond over time. I think they will. But again, this is a team where you can't stop thinking when you have the puck in particular. You can't. There's no play. You've got to make sure you put it in a safe spot.
Talking with Joe Micheletti. You can see him tonight on MSG. Joe, we gave Lundqvist lots of praise, and rightly so, for the Montreal series. How much does he get for game two? Did he have a bad game in your mind in game two?
I thought the first goal was a bad goal. You know, we don't see that out of him. The second goal was a rebound goal where he didn't get any help. Shea got beat to the outside, but they were still, it was a 2-on-4. The Rangers had four players back. Ottawa had two men rushing, and the defenseman Mathot went right past Rick Nash and right past Derek Stepan to put in the rebound goal. And that, again, that's just a defensive awareness mistake. Lundqvist didn't have much of a chance on that. I don't, you know, when I looked at all those goals, you know, maybe the fourth goal that went off the backboards through his legs and he was falling backwards. It was such a bang-bang goal, but it was a clean face-off win. So, you know, the first one was the one that bothered me out of all the goals he allowed. That's the one that bothered me the most.
All right, so nothing to worry about from that standpoint. So it sounds like you still feel, I mean, you'd like them to be 1-1, but you haven't lost that much confidence in the Rangers so far. You still think the Rangers are the better team, right?
Well, I think that they still have a chance to win this series, you know, based on what I've seen. If the Rangers lose game two like they lost game one, where they're all played badly, then you start thinking, you know, this is really going to be that much more difficult. I thought they got back to playing more like the Rangers that we've seen, but now they don't have any margin for error.
No, they have to win this game. Let's be honest. They have to win this game.
Unless Lundqvist plays like he did in game one. That's where they are. I still think that it's a team that can get back in the series and play. And Ottawa's been a team all year, as we discussed, Mike, that they've got a lot of stuff going on that have bonded that team together, and they feel like they can beat anybody. But again, I think the Rangers, you know, with their experience and the lack of experience in particular on Ottawa's defense, I think the Rangers are going to have to find a way to exploit that like they did. And I think there's a confidence level that they can beat Anderson. You know, I looked at those goals, the two shorthanded goals. Anderson didn't have much of a chance. The other three goals that the Rangers scored, Mike, were all scored with Ranger players skating directly in front of the goaltender Anderson, who was just screened enough to not be able to pick up the goal. If he sees it, he's stopping it. And he's got an excellent record at Madison Square Garden. So from the Rangers' perspective, they keep getting players skating in front of them and getting shots there. That's how they scored their other three goals. So, I mean, there's a lot that I'm sure they reviewed and went over. But some of the major critical mistakes that they made by some of their core players can't happen in game three.
So I would say it's fair to say you're still relatively confident.
Yeah, no, I am, Mike. I think that there are certain players that have played to a level we haven't seen before. McDonough, to me, has still been, tremendous. But again, they need, you know, they need to just be smarter with the way they play, and they need some of their leaders to step up their game. After I thought game two, a few of them didn't play very well.
All right, so this will be interesting. You think you got a little time off Saturday afternoon, Tuesday night, pretty good break. You think that helps the Rangers?
I think it helps Lundqvist in particular, because he's become really good at being able to get over situations, rest, you know, get it off his mind, and then get refocused. So I think it helps him, but at the same time, it also helps a player like Erik Karlsson get the rest, because as he readily admitted, which was strange, you know, he's got two cracks in a bone in his left heel.
How about that?
And there were times,
and he plays a lot.
He plays, you know, half the game. And so there were times when he was hurting in game number two, and the Rangers were physical against him. So that rest, and he didn't practice again yesterday, so that rest will help him. But I think it's going to be a tremendous game at the Garden tonight, Mike. I really do.
I think it was you who made this point about him and his ability to skate the puck out. He is good with that puck. He really is.
Nobody better.
He's unbelievable. He gets that puck out of his end, doesn't he?
There is nobody better in hockey at being able to skate out of his zone. And here's a guy, he's not very big. He's wiry strong. He's about 185, maybe 190 pounds, which is not big, and at 5'10". But he's a very smart player, has tremendous legs, and just is a and is a courageous player. So
very talented.
He is an outstanding player. And again, a lot of the focus has to continue to be on him.
No question. All right, Joe. We'll talk Thursday. Thanks very much.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.